great to experience the family of God?
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Only Juvie seems to think it's the great thing. Isn't it a great thing to experience the family of God?
Yes.
We just say, if you're tuned in on Instagram or on Facebook, welcome to this meeting of the family of God. You are welcome too, and you are part of that family. Thank you for tuning in, whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, on YouTube, or on podcast. We're glad that you are able to tune in with us this morning. There is no place like home. Would anyone say amen?
Amen?
Yes, there's no place like home. There's no place quite as good as home. Home is the place where we find rest and we find peace.
Yeah.
Where we find connection and we find comfort. We find love and acceptance and embrace and blessing. Home is a wonderful place to be. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
It's good also to have a home that's a spiritual home. Isn't that right?
Yes.
This, for many of you, I hope and I believe, is your spiritual home. The place that God has made you and put you in a home amongst other Christian believers. It's good to be home. I love my home. I love the people in my home. The people in my home love me. And home can have different meanings, of course. It's the physical place. It's a physical place where I go to my home. There's also the, if you will, the emotional place that I go to rest and be at peace and be at ease and to connect with others. And of course, again, my home at home is also my spiritual home. It's where I pray. It's where I seek God. It's where I encounter the presence of God on a daily basis. I love going home. Home is the best place in the world.
Amen.
If it's working.
Yes.
If it's working. Because sometimes home, when it's not working, can be a place not of peace, but of conflict. It can be a place not of understanding, but of misunderstanding.
Yeah.
It can be a place of misinterpretation. It can be a place of missed opportunity. It can be a place of grudges. It can be a place of unforgiveness. It can be a place of hurt, and it can be a wounding place when it's not working. It's lovely when we see homes work, but I know if you're a human being, you might have been in a home somewhere along your life that wasn't exactly functioning to the premium level. It wasn't functioning the way that God would have intended a home or a family to work. We have to raise God's standard here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But you know, at the same time, it is your home. And there's nothing quite like home. I'm going to be looking at somebody who went home today. I'm going to be looking, we've been taking a journey when I've been speaking for the last few weeks. I haven't spoken for the last 2 weeks, but the few weeks before that, we were taking a journey through the book of Mark, through the Gospel of Mark, and then trying to follow the Lord's leading as I read in the Gospel of Mark. I love the Gospel of Mark. It's nice and quick. It's to the point. It's really pacey. It's a very good, it was the earliest written gospel. It's the earliest known gospel written sometime in the, they think sometime in the early AD 60s, probably written and used in Rome, considered to be possibly Peter's testimony of the events that happened in the life of Jesus and written down by a guy called John Mark. That's what the tradition is. And that tradition dates from the year 125 AD. So it's a very early tradition. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the palace, we're working our way through Mark. And I want to talk about Jesus going home today in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. In some senses, Jesus going home is going home to his hometown. Now, is there anybody in the world who's more associated with their hometown than Jesus? Is there anyone? His name is often called Jesus of Nazareth. It's so associated with his name. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, when the angel appears to Joseph, he says, he will be called, as the prophet said, a Nazarene. Someone from Nazareth or from Netzer. Netzereth. You have to be, it's a great, very interesting story. Nazareth, the name comes from the family group Netzer. Netzer means the branch, and it's considered to be the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah that out of the stump of David, out of the root of Jesse, will grow a branch which will be the ruler of the nations. And this is Jesus being brought up in Netzereth, Nazareth, and part of that Netzer clan. He is that branch that reaches out over the wall. He is the connection back to David. But I didn't want to really go there. He's going to Nazareth. When he was crucified, they put a sign over his head. They put it up there in Greek, in Latin, and in Aramaic. And in Latin it said, Esseo Nazareo Rexus Judeo. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Even the followers of Jesus were known as the Nazarenes. They were known with their connection to Jesus, and Jesus' connection to this place was without question. We're picking up the story after 5 chapters of the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus has been doing amazing things. He's raised the dead. He's healed the sick. He's preached the good news of the kingdom. He has delivered the demon possessed. He has calmed the storm. We'll get to it in a minute. He's done all of this, and now here he is, the homecoming hero, coming back to his old hometown for one last tour around the old block. He's traveled 42 kilometers. He's on his way into Nazareth and the homecoming hero. Now, everybody loves the idea of home and the idea of a homecoming hero. Interestingly, in Mark's gospel emphasizes Jesus as a king. So in Jesus' time, when a king came home, he normally came home to be crowned. So if you will, the new Caesar, the new emperor of the Roman Empire, was always crowned in Rome. That was where his hometown was, if you will. That's where he was considered to be crowned king. And from then on, he was known as a Roman emperor, starting in the city of Rome. So Jesus is coming home. But every town, every important town, and every important city has its homecoming heroes. Especially an important city, in actual fact, the most important city in the world, Cork itself. Hallelujah. The most important city in the world. And if you want to just Google it, look it up on Michael Says Cork Is The Best In The World.com. You can find it, you have all the truth there. But we have our own homecoming heroes. Now I want to fire up a couple of homecoming heroes to see if anybody recognizes them or knows them. Now, if you are from Cork, and if you were a certain vintage, you will definitely recognize the first one, okay? But I would like to see if anybody who is not from Cork, not hashtag not Cork, can actually identify some of the people we're going to put up here. Is that okay? We've got three people, just three people. They're homecoming heroes. Who is this? Anyone? Sonia O'Sullivan. Sonia, oh, fantastic. God bless you, sister. You know who Sonia O'Sullivan is. This is Sonia O'Sullivan, the Whippet of Cove, the Greyhound of Cork City. She is she's a former long-distance runner, gold medal winner in the World Championships in Gothenburg in 1995. As fast as they come. She was from Cove. Is it any wonder she was running so fast? Anyway, a distance runner, an Irish Olympian. And as if you go down to the town of Cove, near where the Titanic was last sighted off the Cork coast. If you go down there, the last passengers on the Titanic got on in Cork. That was disappointing. Anyway, so you go down there. There's a statue up by the waterfront of someone doing this. That's Sonia O'Sullivan crossing the line in 1995 at the Gothenburg World Championship, winning the gold medal in the 5,000 metres. Well done, Sonia. And well done you if you got that one. Here's another local hero that you may or may not know. Anybody know who that is? Anybody know who that is? Huh? Everybody goes, Roy Keane. No, he says, it's Roy. I say, it's Roy Keane. No, it's Roy Keane. It's Roy Keane. Roy Keane. And this is Roy, also known as Jihadi Roy. Putting on his full, his prophet's look. This is Roy Keane. Roy Keane is a former international footballer for Ireland, Manchester United, former Irish manager. He's an international footballer and general troublemaker. For those of you who are wondering, this is his resting face. This is what he looks like when he gets up in the morning and he looks at his wife. Sisters, you don't know how blessed you are. Oh, but imagine him looking at you like that every day. Where's the cornflakes? It's a very Cork look, isn't it? Anybody who's not, that's a very Cork look. That's Roy Keane. So here's one more. Does anybody know who this is? It's Pastor Mike. I had to put up a picture of myself. I had no choice. Does anybody know who it is? Come on, come on, come on. Who's that? You don't have to put up your hand. Just shout it out, sister. Killian Murphy. Killian Murphy. And he from Cork. He from Beaumont. Like, he's from Douglas. Let's close the meeting. He's from Douglas. He's from Beaumont. That his people are from Beaumont. They kind of think they're from Blackrock, but they're not really from Blackrock. Like. He went to Prez, same school as Pastor Tom, yeah? Same good-looking face and the whole routine. Anyway, this is Killian Murphy. He also has a statue, but it's a gold statue. For the best actor, 2024 at the Oscars, Killian Murphy, an Irishman, a Cork man. He from Cork, like. And the thing about Killian Murphy is before he won all of those prizes and became famous, nobody wanted to know him. The thing about Killian Murphy is that people used to say, I knew him when he had nothing. That's what you say in Cork. If you want to put somebody successful down, it's an Irish thing. We knew him when he had nothing. It's very Irish, Irish begrudge. But that's Killian Murphy. He's a general heartthrob, Oscar winner. When these people come home, they're welcomed. The homecoming heroes. Here comes Roy. Roy, will you sign this to me, Killian? Will you kiss me on the cheek? I'll never wash again. It's true, that's what they do. They want to meet with Killian, they want to meet with Roy, they want to meet with Sonia because they're famous and they're successful and they're going home. Meanwhile, back in Nazareth, Jesus is going home. He's just done the most amazing whirlwind tour of Galilee. He's been in Capernaum and Gadara. He's been on the boat. He's been in the town. He's been in the synagogue. The demons are bowing to him. The storms are stopping. The lepers are being cleansed. The people being lowered down in front of him are being healed. People are being raised from the dead. Other people are being cured of 12-year-long illnesses. He is on a rock and roll. And now the cavalcade comes home. Jesus left that part of the country, Capernaum, and returned to his hometown with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. He's coming home. I'm coming home, baby. Jesus is coming home to the people that he knows best, the people that saw him grow up and know he's back as the homecoming hero. Hallelujah. Anybody who's read Mark's gospel knows that that's not quite what happens. They don't roll out the red carpet for him. However, they are pretty surprised. It says this: the next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did he get all that wisdom? Where did he get the wisdom from? And where did he get the power to perform all these miracles? I asked him to fix a door in my house 4 weeks ago and he couldn't even fix it. Where did he get the power to perform miracles? Where did he get the wisdom from? What's going on with him? I mean, like, where did he get it from? And you know, he's coming back, and what I love about it is that people are amazed. They really are impressed. They've heard the stories that have followed them from Capernaum. They've followed it along. They know the gig. They know what happened. They would have heard all about the events that we spoke about in the last few weeks. They've heard all about them, and they're shocked at him. Where did he get all that wisdom? Where did it come from? He is the homecoming hero. It's amazing, the stories they're telling about him. But whiplash, with the next breath, literally, it says, then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. She's Mary's son. And with sure his brother James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Sure, they're all living here. And so is his sister Mary. His sisters, they're living right here among us. And they were deeply offended at him. And they refused to believe in him. They heard the stories. They knew the testimonies. They heard him teaching. They acknowledged his wisdom, they acknowledged his power, but they couldn't get over their prejudice. He's only a carpenter. Like, how come a carpenter declares himself Messiah? How can that possibly be? Sure, look, we know his brother, like, we know his mother Mary. Sure, you know Mary, like, this is her oldest son, like, remember the story about Mary, about, you know, the angel, oh yeah, that story. We know Mary, and that is inferred here. They were kind of questioning, yeah, we know Mary. No mention of his father Joseph or his stepfather Joseph. We know his brother James and Judas and Simon. Sure, we know them. They're right ruffians. So one of them broke into the neighbor's house last week. We know what his brothers are like. We know this family. We know these people. How can he be the Messiah? Who does he think he is? You know, sometimes the people who know us best, listen, see us at our worst. The people who know us best see us at our worst. We sometimes can't get out of people's heads what they were like. Some of these people saw Jesus as a boy. They saw him playing with Matthias and Rebecca and the other kids of the neighborhood. They saw him playing. They saw him building with his stepfather Joseph. He was a normal guy. There was nothing so big about him. He was just a normal guy. And then suddenly he leaves the carpenter, he gets no formal training, he doesn't follow a rabbi, which is the way you do it, he doesn't go to a school, he doesn't go to a rabbinic school, and suddenly he comes back and he's a rabbi, and he's a miracle worker, and he's got disciples. What? They can't get their head around it. And they were offended at him. They were offended because he was preaching the kingdom. And if you read it in Luke's gospel, he says, talking about the prophecy of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And it continues, freedom for the captives. And he says, that is fulfilled in your presence here today. Oh, that's a big claim. He was making a messianic claim in front of him. And they said, but you're just a carpenter. But you can fill it in your own blanks. You can fill in your own blank. You can go, but people said of me that I'm just a... Put it in. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Ballyfihan Am I the only person from Ballyfeehan here? Ah, I'm alone. Oh, I'm not alone. Who's that? Who's got your hand up? Who's this? Katie. Of course, Katie. No, Katie, you're from Hungary, to be fair, Miss Owen. Like, you brought up the level of Ballyfeehan. I just spent all of my teenage bringing it down. Two Ballyfeehan, two Hanites, as we would have been known back in the day. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? What, like, then the people who know you best, they often see your failure. And the other thing is this, the people who know you most often listen to you the least. The people who know you most, the people you've been around the most all of your life, they listen to you the least. Because they're so familiar with you. They're so familiar with your story. And they were offended, deeply offended, and refused to believe him. Amazed, shocked, then offended. Then scoffing and offending. In moments, within minutes, this process happens. It says then that Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. A prophet is accepted everywhere. Everywhere you go as a prophet, you're welcomed, except when you go back home, because the people at home know you. They knew what the prophets were like. They knew Isaiah when he was growing up and Jeremiah when he was growing up. They knew what David was like when he was growing up. They knew what Samuel was like. The prophet is welcome everywhere, except in his own hometown. And you know what? Let me just say this to you. I'm sure that there are many of you here who are here this morning. This is not your hometown. You've come from another country, another province, another county, and now you're in Cork and it has become your hometown. I have good news for you. You can speak a prophetic voice to the people of Cork that the people of Cork can't speak.
Amen.
You can reach people that I can't reach. You can speak to people and they will listen to you instead of listen to me. They look at me and they go, sure, he's from Cork. He has that Corky accent. We know what he's like. We know what that fella's like. Sure, he couldn't be a Christian. Pastor, are you kidding me? How can he be? Sure, he's just a van driver or whatever, you know, whatever my many jobs were. You can take your pick and you'll be dismissed. And you know, very often in your own household, brothers and sisters in our own households, we're not welcomed. We're not welcomed and we're not accepted and we're not honored. It's just, yeah, you're a Christian. Yeah, you've got to be kidding. You're a Christian. I saw you in the nightclub last year. You weren't a Christian then, I'll tell you that. How many people here have experienced that? Come on. People saying, you Christian, seriously? Yeah. Not enough of you have experienced it. You need to get out there more often. Amen. But maybe God has brought you here for the specific purpose of speaking to this people. Speaking to the people of Cork, speaking to the people you work with, the people you live near, speaking to your neighbors, speaking to your friends, the people that you've met here. Maybe that's your purpose. Maybe that's why he brought you all the way over here. You see, people will see you. You'll be frozen in time by so many people. I knew a guy when I was growing up. His nickname was Shawnee Boo Boo. That was his nickname, Shawnee Boo Boo. Now, it turns out, you know, boo-boo in Cork means baby, it means little baby, right? So it turns out that Shawnee was 63 years of age. And they called him Shawnee Boo-boo. But he's not a baby anymore. Yeah, Shawnee Boo-boo. We all know what Shawnee Boo-boo is like. It's just like that. It's like people just freeze you in a certain place. They've seen you at your worst and they will never listen to you. They cannot accept that you have changed or something has been transformed in your life. And so therefore the prophet isn't welcome in his own hometown or even amongst his own family and his own family. So how many parents know that experience? That, you know, you've been saying something to your kids all their lives. Don't do this, don't do that, be wise, do this, look after that. And you say it and you must be saying blah, 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 blah. And then some stranger, like a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend, comes into the life, says exactly what you've been saying all their lives, and they go, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know what it's like. I've got children myself, my boys, I've got three lads, they're great lads, I love the head off them. Oh my goodness, I love the head off, and our home is a very happy home, but sometimes I feel that I'm like, it's like talking to cats. It's like, you know, you talk to cats sometimes, you know? So, you know, you've seen people, does anybody here have a cat? Anybody, and does anybody here have a dog? If you have a cat or a dog, will you put up your hand? Lads, do you all hate animals or what? Okay. So it's like when we talk to cats, you know, you open the back door, hello Fluffy, meow, meow, meow. And you say, hello Fluffy, come here Fluffy, Fluffy, here's a little bit of food for you Fluffy. Fluffy. Oh, but there's your cushion over here. Here's your scratch ball here now, Fluffy. Oh, Fluffy, you're a lovely girl. You're a lovely girl, Fluffy. You're lovely. That's what you're lovely. Do you know what the cat hears? Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Do you know what the cat is thinking? The servants are getting on my nerves again. That's the thing. See, dogs have owners, cats have staff. That's how it works. Or dogs, I think the dog is my personal favourite, because I would have had dogs over the years. When you talk to the dog, hello, hello, Jacko. Hello, Jacko. His tail is going, oh, he's so delighted to see me. Hello, Jacko, it's lovely to see you. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? Sit down, here, sit down, sit. Good, ah, good boy, no. Go, into your bed, Jacko. Here you go, Jacko. Jacko, here's your dinner. Here, Jacko, here's your dinner. Do you know what the dog hears? Jacko, blah, 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 Jacko, blah, 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 Jacko, blah, 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 Jacko. And do you know what Jacko means to the dog? Food. That's what it means. That's all it means, food. They hear their name, they go, I'm going to be fed here. See all that tail wagging, he's so happy to see me. He's just thinking, I'm getting food. That's what he's thinking. And sometimes we're speaking to people and it feels like we might as well be talking to cats or dogs. Because the message seems to bounce off them. We're speaking a language they don't understand. They don't seem to get it at all. We're on different levels and on different planes. And even within our own households, we can be like speaking completely different languages when we talk, especially about the things of God. And it just isn't translating into the ears of those that we want to speak. And so even to your own family and your brothers and your relatives or in your own workplace, it can be a case of the prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown. Except in his own hometown, amongst his own family. Because the message that you have, I would say, okay, the vast majority of people here are Christians, right? The vast majority of people have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for them, that he died and he rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of their sins so that they may have new life. We kind of all believe that pretty well. About 95%, I suspect, of everybody here really believes that. What's the difference between when I say the message and when somebody else says the message? The question is the mouth from which it comes. That's the truth. It's the mouth from which the message comes. People can't hear it from certain people. They can't hear the message from certain people. And sometimes they are within your own household. Do you know the first time I ever preached the gospel was? Actually preached the gospel. I mean, preached the good news to strangers. I was in Paris in 1989. Great way to start your career. I was in Paris in 1989. I was on holiday and we were visiting this church in Paris. Now, I'd never preached to anybody. I'd spoken a couple of times at Bible school, but it was like talking about preaching to the choir. Like everybody was on site. This was a hostile crowd, as it were. We were in an underground place in Paris, and the night before I had been awake half the night listening to this beautiful thunderstorm over Paris and thinking, imagine if the leader, a guy called Jacques, of course it was Jacques, and he was from Canada, he was a French Canadian, but was a French that has his beautiful song. Michael, would you like to preach today? And this one says, the Lord has spoken to me. He wants you to speak the gospel today. In the underground to the people of Paris. Do you accept this challenge? Yes or no? Oh, can you say no to somebody who speaks like that, like? I all grand. So I was thinking, what would I say if this challenge came? So literally, I kind of had this message going in my head. I said, I'd preach this, I'd say that, and I'd say the other thing. The following day, Jacques says, Michael, the Lord spoke to me. He wants to know, will you preach the gospel for us today? In the underground in Paris. I just want to say it again because I'm enjoying saying it so much. And anyway, he says, yes or no? I said, yes, I will. That is a yes? I said, yes, it is a yes. Then why do you not say yes? Say, we. I said, okay, we. He said, great, we will go preach the gospel. So I go into the underground in this station in Paris. Michael from Cork, from Ballyfeehan, green, wet behind the ears, 21 years of age, standing there in this underground station in Paris. And somebody said, okay, your turn. And I said, but I don't speak French. Oh, no, we'll put an interpreter next to you. So they put this really, really efficient, I'd say he didn't say what I said at all, actually. I just had a revelation. People got saved because he didn't say what I said at all. He just said, he said in French, loosely translated from the French, ignore this stupid person, listen to what I have to say instead. So I ended up preaching the gospel, and when I preached the gospel, at the end, it was just standard. Would you like to respond to Jesus and invite him into your life? We want to give you a new testament. We want you to start your new life with Jesus. That was the basic formula that we used. goodness me, 8 people put their hands up. It was like, wah! And this is like in a trafficking station. And what I realized there and then is that these people would listen to me because I wasn't one of their own. Because I wasn't, they didn't know me from Adam. They didn't like, I did, none of them knew me. There was nobody suddenly going past in the parasol and going, there's Mick Donovan! It never happened. Because a prophet is not welcomed very often in his own hometown. So don't be discouraged, brothers and sisters, with your family, with your children, with your relatives. Don't be discouraged. God can open all hailing frequencies and reach them through a voice that they can, that they will listen to. You see, a lot of people decry social media and say, oh, everybody's distracted. Yes, they are, but they're also open at the same time. They're also, not only are they distracted with all the stuff going on in social media, and I'm not a great fan of social media myself, but people are also open. I've known so many people who've like sent me a video, even people that I love and I long for, that I'm praying for, they'd send a video and say, what do you think of this? Look, I came across this and the other, that's an interesting message that the guys preach. And they're sending me Christian clips. And they go, wow, hallelujah, this is fantastic. Because they're listening to another voice, not my voice. Don't be discouraged if your voice is not being listened to. God is still speaking. That's the bottom line. Can I get an amen? Yeah. See, Jesus said it. This is what he said. He said to his disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. But bear this in mind. Anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. The bottom line is this. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. That's the bottom line. So when you say, oh no, they're not listening to me, don't worry about it. God is still able to speak to them. He's still able to reach them. He's still able to get them at the frequency they're tuned into. He's still able to reach them. So when they reject you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They're in God's care. You know, we get so head up and so wound up and say, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Have I enough? He has done enough. He has done it all.
Amen. Yeah.
Let him stand back and let him do his work. You see, here's a simple rule that we should apply to our lives. When you read the Gospels, and when you read your Bible, and when you look at your life. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, loosely. What you experience, Jesus experienced. Hebrews chapter 4 says that we do not have a high priest who is unsympathetic to our experience, but has experienced everything, every temptation that we have experienced. That's what he says. So what you experience, Jesus experienced. Have you experienced rejection? Jesus experienced rejection. Have you experienced misunderstanding? Jesus experienced misunderstanding. Have you experienced misinterpretation? Jesus experienced misinterpretation. He experienced rejection. He experienced suffering. He experienced hate. He experienced vitriol. He experienced vindictiveness. He experienced death itself. That's a good rule. What you experience, Jesus experienced. So the next time you have a bad experience, here's a simple prayer. Lord, I know you know how this feels. You had loss and you had longing. You had joy. You had sadness. You had temptation. You had trial. You had suffering. You had pain. Thank you, Lord. You know what this feels like. You know what this feels like. But here's another part of it. What Jesus experienced, you will experience. That also is really important. That's really important. Because if Jesus was rejected, you'll be rejected. If he was misunderstood, you'll be misunderstood. All of those things that you experience, Jesus experienced, and what he experienced, you will also experience, including death. But another thing that you will experience resurrection if you trust in him. You will experience coming up out of the grave. There ain't no grave going to hold your body down if you trust in Jesus Christ. You will experience the resurrection life in you now and forevermore if you trust in him. Because what he experienced, you will experience. In actual fact, the letter to the Ephesians says this, that Jesus is seated in heavenly places. And then he goes on, literally one chapter, he says, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. That's what it actually says. So what he experienced, we will experience. Hallelujah. So there's hope in that as well. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. So therefore, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, sometimes we accept him as the author of our faith, but we struggle with the finishing bit. What must I do now? You mustn't do anything. Just accept what he's done. That'll be the great way to start. Accept what he has done. Accept his peace. Accept his rest. Accept his blessing. Accept his provision. And let that be the thing from which you flow. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes.
Am I going too far? I'm going too far. You're going too far. And it goes on to say this. Meanwhile, back in the story, it says this. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them. Except, I love this great throwaway line, except, you know, to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. I just think that is so beautiful. He couldn't do any miracles except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their unbelief. He was amazed at their rejection, not of his claims, but of their claims about him. Remember, they were the ones who said, look at his wisdom, look at the amazing works he's doing. They were the ones who said that. So he was amazed that they rejected him on the basis of their claims, not his claims. It's like, wow, what, are you serious? It says he was amazed, and I love the line, it says he couldn't do any miracles among them. It's not that he wouldn't, he was willing. He wanted to move among that people like he moved among the people of Capernaum, like he moved among the people of Gadara. He wanted to move among them. He wanted to touch them. He wanted them to experience his true life, but he couldn't do it because of their unbelief. Because they didn't believe. You see, we have in our heads this idea, it's a long since inherited idea, and that is that if we had more miracles, more people would become Christians. If we had just more signs, more miracles, people would become Christians. That is not what happens. Not ever in the history of Christianity has that ever happened. In actual fact, to quote Campbell G. Morgan, he's a Bible commentator from the 1800s, he said, there is not a single instance in the entirety of the New Testament that shows somebody doing a miracle to generate faith. Not a single instance. Not a single instant. Faith always came before the miracle. You see, we think that seeing will be believing. If they see, they'll believe. No, no, no. Jesus says, if you believe, then you'll see.
Yeah.
If you believe, then you will see. And we kind of have it this way in our heads. And we have prayers for revival meetings and miracles, and it's wonderful. But that's not the key. Remember, anyone who came to Jesus looking for a sign, he said, get away from me, you wicked and evil generation. It's a wicked and adulterous generation who comes looking for a sign. That's what he said. And so we have this idea that miracles, then revival. No, no, no. Faith first, then the seeing. Hallelujah. So we need to be sure what we say. And what are we talking about faith first? Well, we'll get to that in a second. And when we talk about faith, it's seeing Jesus. It's seeing the real Jesus. It's seeing who he truly is, to see what he truly is like, to see what he truly does, to see what he truly says. That's what it is. You see, people, you know what, they want to hear their own thing. Have you ever noticed that? Do you ever notice that you'll make a comment to someone, I don't know, maybe none of you experienced this, perhaps I am alone. That's okay too. You make a comment and somebody picks up a little bit of what you said, and they reapply that in some other way, sometimes positively and sometimes negatively. But they don't generally hear everything you said. And it was the same for Jesus. It was the same for Jesus. I like what Paul Simon said about people who don't really listen. I love this line from the song The Boxer. He said, a man hears what he wants to hear, and he just disregards the rest. He just gets rid of the bits that don't suit him, that don't fit with him, that he doesn't like. And sometimes we can take that approach. Not we, I'm not suggesting you, not even for a moment. But it does happen to some Christians that they take a couple of verses out of the Bible and they say, these are the ones I want to hear. These are the messages that I'm really fond of. But I don't like all this kind of lay down your life and take up your cross stuff. If you don't mind, I'll pass on that, Lord. I just want the blessing. Little do they know the laying down of your life is where the blessing is. That's where it is. That's where it is. A man hears what he wants to hear and he disregards the rest. Now when Jesus stood there in front of them, he told them, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, recovery of sight for the blind, freedom for the captives, to declare the year of the Lord's favor. That's what he stood in front of them, but they couldn't or wouldn't hear it. But you can hear it. You can hear it for your life. That there will be recovery in your life.
Hallelujah.
That there will be healing in your life.
Amen.
That there will be the favor of God in your life.
Amen.
That there will be the provision of God in your life, in your situation, in your family, amongst your people, amongst your relatives, in your hometown. These things can happen. They really can. But it's very important that we don't do what the Israelites did when they're warned several times, not only in the Psalms, but also especially in the New Testament, especially to the Hebrews, the people who should know the Bible best, the people who should know the story of the Messiah best. Three times is quoted the same passage. Today, this is why the Holy Spirit says, right, Paul, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Amen. Lord, I was hurt before and never going to be hurt again. Do not harden your heart. Lord, I cannot forgive that person anymore. I know you're telling me to forgive, but I'm just too wounded. Do not harden your heart. Lord, I trusted you before, but I was let down. I expected that door to open it and my heart. Do not harden your heart. Trust in him. He knows what he is doing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Do you know, we often refer to him as the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. What he started, he will complete. The door he opens, no man can shut. What he shuts, no man can open. That's who he is. And it's that. What the important part is that we recognize his voice and recognize him. That's the important part. That we recognize him. Because if we really know our God, that's where the peace is. That's where the rest is. That's where the life is. Not in our efforts, not in our straining, not in our discerning, not in our understanding, but in recognizing Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You see, the problem is people didn't recognize him. And some people recognized and some didn't. To put it the one way, one commenter put it like this. He said, it wasn't that they recognized him. It's that Jesus was revealed to them. So if you will, I'm going to talk about revealing Jesus or recognizing Jesus. Here was the sad list of those who didn't recognize him in just these few chapters. The teachers of the law in Mark 2 and Mark 3. The Pharisees in Mark 2. Jesus' enemies collectively in Mark 3. Jesus' own brothers. Mark chapter 3, I referenced it the last time I spoke. They came to him, to the house that he was preaching in Capernaum. And they said it said that they came to take him home saying that he's out of his mind. He's lost his mind. We want to take him home. That's what his own family said about him. They didn't recognize him, not yet, hallelujah, not yet. But then you discover afterwards that James and Jude, two books in the New Testament, were written by brothers of Jesus, hallelujah. God's work wasn't done. Just because somebody doesn't recognize and doesn't hear no, doesn't mean that they won't recognize and won't hear in the future. Just be faithful to the message. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Be faithful to the message. The crowd at Gadara said, after they saw this lunatic guy called Legion, in actual fact, two people, being delivered of demons, they sent him away and said, oh, will you go away? We had a nice peaceful life before you came. I know he's mad, but look, we've had a nice peaceful life. Please go away from us. The crowd at Jairus' home laughed at him. Just like they laugh at you sometimes. Just like they'll snigger up their sleeve when you're gone. I think she's a Christian. Just like people will do to you. You know it yourself in your own heart and soul. You have a conversation with someone, you can just feel that shield up like a Roman shield. There's just no getting past it. They laughed at him when he said, the child is not dead. She's only asleep. And they laughed. Crowd at Jairus' home, I just referenced. The crowd in Nazareth, no here, were offended by him, identifying as a Messiah. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are, Jesus? They laughed at him. They just didn't recognize him. He wasn't revealed to them. Why? Because their eyes were blinded. Their hearts were hard. Their ears were plugged. Jesus said it himself. He's preaching parables. So otherwise they would be seeing, but never perceiving, hearing, but never understanding. And he's saying, and he said, he who has ears to hear. So he said, it was available for those who were willing to recognize, for those who were willing to open their ears and open their eyes. It was available to them. Nobody was locked out, but you had to make a decision to listen. You had to make a decision to pay attention. What were the people who did recognize him? There was the demon possessed. Three times. Mark 1, Mark 3, Mark 5. Three men, demon possessed. And each one of them identified Jesus as he cast the demon from them. What do you want with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? They said. They recognized him. Peter, Andrew, James and John. They're fishing by the Lake of Galilee. Along walks this amateur rabbi that they know nothing about. And he says, come and follow me. They drop their nets and follow him. They recognized there was something in him. The leper. What a beautiful story in Mark chapter 1. It says a leper came to Jesus and fell at his feet and he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now there's faith. Mm-hmm. Who is this fellow? Who is Jesus? I don't know who Jesus is, but I know this. If he is willing, he can make me clean. This guy can do it because he saw demons being cast out. And he said, yeah, I'd say he could probably handle leprosy. It's a bit lower on the scale. The paralyzed man who's lowered down in front of him by his friends through the hole in the roof. Make a hole in the roof, brothers and sisters. Make a hole in the roof and lower your friends before Jesus. He says to him, son, your sins are forgiven. And all the people were offended. And he said, okay, get up and take up your bed and walk. Can you imagine if you were at that meeting? Sorry, I diverged slightly. Imagine you're at that meeting, right? And in comes, down comes the body. He's laying out. He's lying on the ground. And Jesus looks at him and says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, you're a Jewish believer. You know that only God can forgive sins. Mm-hmm. And everybody goes, what is your man saying? Who does he think he is? Your sins are forgiven. What's he like? He thinks he's God. He thinks he's God. That fella, listen to this. Your sins are forgiven. It says his enemy said, who does this man think he is? And then Jesus looked at him and says, so that you may know that I have authority to forgive sins. Get up, take up your mat, and walk. And the guy gets up, and he takes up his mat, and he walks. Can you imagine being in that meeting? Imagine if you were one of the people who said, oh, what did your man think? Is he forgiven sins? And next thing, the guy gets up, walks out. Hallelujah. Imagine being in that. Where was I? The man with the withered hand, the paralyzed man. The disciples together recognize him when he's on the waves in the storm. Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They saw him, but they didn't know the fullness of him. And if you go through this list of all of these people, they saw him. They didn't know the fullness of him. They didn't know completely about him, but they recognized him. They knew that he had power that they didn't have. They knew that he was someone that they weren't. They knew that he was had come to set people free. They recognized that. And brothers and sisters, to become a Christian, that's all you need to recognize. You don't need a degree in theology. You don't have to have your soteriology perfect, which is your philosophy of salvation, by the way. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have your eschatology and your soteriology and your theology. You need none of it. You just need to recognize him and say, Lord, save me, heal me, cleanse me. That's how you get saved.
Hallelujah.
That's how you get saved. That's how you get saved. And finally, of course, the sick woman who comes up behind him, grabs him by the hem of the garment, says, if I can just touch his garment, I will be healed. And Jairus, the synagogue ruler, who hears the news, the most devastating news you could ever hear. Jairus, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Open your ears, brothers and sisters, if you're in trouble today. If you've got difficulty or you've got trial. If you're beset by problems or temptations or addictions or trials, open your ears. This is what the Lord would say to you today. Don't be afraid, just have faith. Don't be afraid, just have faith. Because God is in that situation with you. The Lord is with you. He is watching over you. He's going to work that situation. But you have to give it over to him. We'll make a mess of this Rubik's Cube of our lives. We'll make a mess of it. There'll be yellows and blues and greens and reds everywhere. We won't know what to do. But if we hand it over to him, he gets it right first time every time. Hallelujah. He gets our lives right first time every time. Hallelujah. So, what does that mean for you and for me? It means that when we go from church today, it means that maybe in your own home you mightn't be heard. By God's grace you will. But maybe you'll be heard in somebody else's home. Maybe you'll be heard in another circumstance, in another country, in another situation. I'm going to pray in a second that those of you who have not come from Cork, I'm going to ask you to stand because I want to pray for you that God would use you as prophets amongst this people, amongst this people, amongst my people, the people I knew and that I grew up with. I'm going to pray that God will use you as prophets. How many people have come to this church, have come to this city and have become Christians, though they're from other countries, they hear the gospel here in Cork, become Christians, get baptized and return home to their families. Unbelievable numbers, brothers and sisters, because it's a voice that they're not familiar with. I want to pray first of all for those, right? Second of all, I want to pray that those that we love and long for, and does anybody know anyone who needs to come to know Jesus? Yes. Love is suus, led the whole. Put your hand up if you know someone who needs to come to know Jesus. I want to pray that they will hear a voice that they will listen to. If they won't listen to you, maybe they'll listen to another voice. We pray that God, who controls all things, will bring a voice into their lives that they will hear. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Lastly, I want to pray that we would recognize Jesus.
Amen.
In all of our situations, in all the situations that we face, whether we are in trouble with the law, in trouble with our health, in trouble with our finances, that we would recognize Jesus and recognize that He is the deliverer. He is the source. He is the one who can set us free from whatever it is that assails us. That this coming week, we will recognize Jesus at work in our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Will you stand with me? We're going to worship God together. I want to read this one last passage of scripture. Very important. He came to His own people. It says in John's Gospel chapter 1, one of the best chapters in the Bible. Love it. Love it. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. Jesus, like our Jesus, like the Jesus we love, that we know, that we sing about, that we preach about, that we teach about, that we read about, that we pray to, our Jesus, His own people rejected Him. And that was His own people on the micro level. His own family and neighbors rejected Him. And then it's on the macro level, His whole nation rejected Him. The whole nation of the Jews, they rejected Him. But then it goes on to say this: but to all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. And that's what you are today. Don't let any critic, don't let any naysayer, don't let any deaf, don't let anybody who's deaf to your words say otherwise. If you trust, if you believe in Him, if you accept Him, you are a child of God today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need to own it. We need to wear it. We are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My name is Michael O'Donovan. I was born again on the 10th of January, 1986, at a small house group in the parish of Ballyfihan in Cork. Since then, do you know what's happened? I've made an awful lot of mistakes. I've slipped up, I've fallen down, I've fallen back, I've tripped over, I've said stupid things, heard stupid things, done stupid things, but I'm still on course, I'm still God's child, and He's still at work in my life. Hallelujah. All of these years later, it's the same will be true for you. The same will be true for you, whether you are 5 weeks, 5 days, 5 months, 5 years, or 5 decades on the road with Jesus. Stand back and let Him do the work in your life as He intends to do. Could I get an amen?
Amen.
Come on, we pray. Come on, we sing first and then we pray, okay? We're going to sing, Beautiful Name. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, You reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all name. Jesus has no rival and He has no equal. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the bones of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of Your glory. For You are raised to life again. You have no rival, You have no
saying good westerns, and you're willing to say, Lord, use my voice to be a voice that people in this place will listen to. You've come from another country, another city, another county, another province, and you've come to this place. This is where God has placed you. Can I get an amen? He decides the times and places where people should live. Perhaps this is the very purpose for which he brought you. If you're saying, Lord, use me this week to be a voice to people who won't listen to the locals. If that's your prayer, will you raise your hand wherever you are in the room? Now, just keep that hand up for a moment. I'm going to ask you to just join it with another one. If there's someone you love and you long for, and you want to say, Lord, this week I pray that you would open all healing frequencies, as they say in Sartre. That you would open all healing frequencies and speak to them in a language they understand through a medium they will believe. We pray, when I say medium, I mean a device or a screen or a person or a situation. That's what I mean, in case I'm misinterpreted. We pray, if you have someone that you want to say, Lord, this week would you speak to that person in a language they understand? Will you open all healing frequencies to reach them? Whether it's by the radio, or the television, or a YouTube channel, or on YouTube Shorts, or on Instagram, or on TikTok, Lord, speak your words to them. If that's your prayer, raise your hands high. We're going to pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, that you are at work. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Lord, even when we don't see it, even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't at times believe it, you're still at work because you're still fulfilling your plan and your promise, Lord. We bring before you, Lord, those that we love and that we long for, Lord. We prayed this week that you would literally, as I said, open all healing frequencies, Lord. You would speak to them in a language they understand. Whether that is a literal language that they understand or whether it is a mode of communication that they understand, Lord, speak to them in a language they understand through a voice that they will listen to, Lord. But we pray your word would get through to them this week. We pray that in Jesus' mighty name. We don't give up hope for them, Lord. We commit them into your hands today in Jesus' mighty name. Let your kingdom come and your will be done, and God's people said.
Amen.